Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome back to Mailbag Monday. We're answering some great questions today. So listen in. Get your pad and paper. It's going to be really good. I guarantee it.
Hey, we're so glad to have you here. We love, love, love our Mondays with you. So the first question is, I received Jesus a couple of years ago, but my husband still has not. I believe he will, though. He has some questions that I think trip him up. He thinks it's weird that God seems to be demanding of worship, and if he doesn't get worshiped, you might not get what you asked for. I know that isn't how God is, but I'm failing at explaining it. Can you help me?
Well, it's kind of a technical thing. I'm an old engineer. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. You know, come before him with singing. God loves praise. God loves worship. It's the way he is, the way he made us, you know. And so he told us, hey, God, what's the quickest way to get to you? Thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You got something, you show up. Hey, God, I'd like to take a minute and thank you. It's been a really good week. Been a great month. Had some great things turned out really good. Really, I just want to say thank you. I know you're involved in that, so thank you, Father. I know all the good that's happened is you. And so what happens, you know, with most all men, we're just so simple-minded and we're technical, you know. Turn that knob, that door opens. Flip that switch, that light comes on. You know, it's sure that's how God is. Well, not exactly. God's a heart God. He's looking for your heart. And so I've had many guys when I grew up in church. Between Sunday school and church on Sunday morning, most of the men would be on the front porch of the church smoking. Everybody smoking, you know. Tobacco was king, especially in the South. So what are you doing up front? Well, we would hang with our fathers. We're not with our mothers. And the women ran the church then anyhow, you know. We're on the front. We're with the men. Of course, smoking all, you know, we had more secondhand smoke you can probably imagine. So that's where the men are. And so men didn't like going in when the worship started. You hear the music, okay, they started worship. We have to go in here in a few minutes. Not right then, just in a few minutes. And I've heard men say, and my family say, well, I don't need that sissy stuff. I need the meat. I'll go in when they start putting the meat on the grill. The problem is, if you don't get in worship, you can't swallow the meat. It's going to choke in your throat. You know, God inhabits praise. And if you learn to praise God, and nobody's flesh wants to praise God, it's called the sacrifice of praise for a reason, because nobody wants to do it. I don't feel like thanking God. I don't feel like praising God. What's he done for me? Well, there's a problem there. You got to do it by faith. I'm going to enter his gates of thanksgiving, enter his courts of praise. I'm just going to start thanking him. God, I'd like to thank you. I'm not really sure what for, but I want to thank you. You know, cause that's what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where you've been, but I want to thank you. You're here somewhere because the Bible said so. And people laugh all the time, but it is getting your mouth lining up with God. God, I'm going to sing too. I don't like this song. I don't have a good voice, but I'm going to sing anyhow. So I'm going to open that hymnal, and I'm going to sing that song. Anybody that's ever been in church at all realizes worship will mess with you. That's when God talks to you. You go to the throne of God in worship, he'll talk back. I tell people, when do you hear God the most? During praise and worship. And we've traveled for the last 26 years, do about 60 seminars a year, and sometimes pastors will ask, Joe, you want to stay back here in the blue room and the green room? We'll bring out the last song. So, no, Pastor, I really want to go out when worship starts. That's where God deals with me. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there with your arms raised up. Maybe you're just singing really good and you're enjoying the song. And people think you're normal. You're not. I said, when you go to the throne in worship, God starts talking to you. I've had more revelation in a moment of time during a worship song than I've had after fasting and praying for 2 or 3 days. God loves praise. And
yeah,
so
he does.
You're trying to just explain it the best you can. Well, honey, God really likes this. And if your boss said, I like this, I don't like this, you're probably going to do what your boss likes. If your spouse says, I like this, I don't like this, you're probably going to do what your spouse likes. Most humans are trying to be pleasing. Well, if you want to please God, get your mouth open, get your armpits up, start thinking.
I remember when my mother got saved. None of us had ever been saved. We'd gone to a traditional church for years, but it was more of a social club. But she really got born again, and our lives changed pretty dramatically. Well, my dad just gave her a fit and questioned everything that she, you know, was believing. And she was running, you know, to prayer meetings and dragging us to church and everything. Well, one night, my dad bought home some Dunkin' Munchkins. You remember those little
yep.
Dunkin' Donut
holes? All of those things. Yep.
And so my brother and I ate them. And a few hours later, we both got so sick. I mean, just so sick, which is rough. We had a one bathroom home.
Oh, Lord, I remember it.
Good and night. So my brother's like in the backyard being sick. I'm in the bathroom and everything. It was just a mess. And I remember my dad saying, "Your God's so good. Why don't you heal him?" You know.
Whoa.
And my mom's like, "Whoa." And she goes, "Well, you know, God, would you please heal?" And immediately we both stopped throwing up.
Hmm.
And that turned my dad. Up until then, he would be sarcastic. He would question things.
Yep.
He would try to push your buttons. Nothing is worse than somebody that knows a little bit of scripture
no.
that is running from God. And let me tell you, that is the worst because they'll try to manipulate you around it. So I would take that, you know, God's working on him. So I would just take that as an opportunity to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you that you're working on my husband." I mean, you might want to, you know, smack him, but don't do that. Don't do that. That God is moving him to a position and a place where he can be received. And you never know what that moment is going to be. And my father got saved in Spirit-filled and was a strong Christian my whole
yes.
life from that moment on. So I, you know, just encourage you to move into Thanksgiving for him as well.
And you need to go the biblical thing about going the second mile, giving your shirt and your coat and going the next mile. And I've had many people say, "Well, my husband didn't like come to church, so me and the kids would get dressed and he'd be sitting in that lounge chair reading the Sunday paper and watching something, getting ready to watch a ball game." But sure, we'll be back a little bit and just keep loving on them. And I had so many testimonies. Some people said it took months. Some took years. What'd you do? Just kept loving on them.
Yeah.
Love leaves the unbeliever. It leads the unbeliever in. So just love on him because he knows he doesn't deserve it.
And you can always get some Dunkin' Munchkins.
Yes, you can.
I'm just kidding.
I do love Dunkin' Munchkins, man. Woo!
I have to be honest. I haven't been able to have any since that time.
Well, you can't eat just one. It's like a Lay's potato chip.
That was the problem. Okay, my daughter is still living with us. She is 18 and dating someone who is not born again. To be honest, there are not many Christians where we live, so I do understand the dilemma. But how do you get your kids to see they're playing with fire, especially when they are now considered an adult? Well, my child, my son, he got hooked up with this girl in college. She was a Christian, but it was not a good, healthy relationship. It was, it brought so much division and strife into the family and pushed him where he, you know, wanted to quit school. And I handled it terribly. I did everything wrong, just to be honest with you. I mean, I confronted them both. I was just, it was terrible. So I probably made it drag out for a few more months than it should have. But it wasn't until I really prayed and that got him out of the relationship. And I just prayed that the blinders would be lifted off of his eyes.
Yeah, that's biblical.
So that he could see the reality of what this relationship is. And now that he is engaged to another wonderful girl,
yes.
If you mention that other girl, he's like, "Oof, I dodged a bullet." Like, you dodge more than a bullet, let me tell you. But anyway, so I would encourage you to pray.
Well, the Bible says that the devil blinds the minds of humans. the people, I don't understand. I'm trying to help my uncle, my aunt, my cousin, one of my kids. What's going on? Well, the devil's blinded their mind. So it's not just you giving rules and orders and you can't go here and you can't do. No, no, there's a spirit, soul, and body involved. You know, I might be able to control your flesh. You're not going anywhere, you know, or yell louder or whatever. It's like, but there's a spiritual world going on. And so the devil's working. And you have to get God involved. And you have to walk in love, real patient. And I've dealt with so many parents. You know, we just have rules in our house. Listen, I'm a really good dad. I'm the one that bought you clothes, put a pool in the backyard, and got you into school, and, you know, helped you get your car. And I love you. I got the canceled checks to prove it. Mm-hmm. But in our home, we don't do that. And we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And the devil always comes to your children through their relationships. The devil doesn't show up with horns and a pitchfork, puking green stuff. He shows up looking good, smelling good, and sounding good. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is that parenting thing where, here, I am believing for you to have a great spouse that's going to love you for the rest of your life, suck the lips off your face. I want you to go to sleep smiling and wake up smiling. But there is a devil in hell is going to try to stop that. He's going to send something false across your path before the real thing shows up.
Right.
Everybody, every story of the Bible, what happened? Well, the fake stuff showed up before the real stuff showed up. The devil's he's going to tempt you. He's going to lead you. Well, maybe this is God. Well, maybe they're God. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. And going back to the original statement you made, are they born again? No. Well, you're not God. You can't get them born again. 20 years from now, you wouldn't be married to somebody that, you know, meaner than snot, and maybe gets drunk or doesn't do what's right, doesn't tell the truth. Maybe they're stealing stuff from work. There's a million things that can go really bad wrong.
Especially or when you have children. Do you want to raise them outside of church?
Yep. That's your goal, because that's going to be a challenge. So we're looking for God's best. You know, I don't need to, I'm not looking for a religious thing, but I am looking for a person who, you know, fears God. What's the number one priority of a spouse for your children? They need to fear God. If they don't fear God, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I do think you're perfectly within your rights to set boundaries in your home as far as what is acceptable and what isn't. But again, you know, I would just really pray and listen to the Holy Spirit and not be careful about your approach.
Yeah, be patient. The Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak.
Which is where I missed it.
So, and you'd be honest, say, well, do you not like them? Well, no, I don't like them at all. Wow. Well, I don't think they fear God. I don't think they're chasing God. They're chasing flesh. They like your flesh. Mm-hmm. They think you look good, you smell good, you kiss good. Who wouldn't be drawn to that? Everybody, it all starts with flesh. You know, I didn't fall in love with a spirit. You know, I fell in love with somebody's flesh. You know, I remember even us, we've been married almost a year now. It's like, what'd you know? I remember the first time I saw you after 12 years in that airport down, I thought, man, she's pretty. She's nice looking. And so we talked. Man, she does talk good. She's smart. You know, good Southern woman, real smart. So I fell in love with all the natural things before we ever started talking about, hey, where do you see yourself going 20 years from now? You know, you go to church. Who's your pastor? You know, let's talk a little bit about God, you know, because, you know, it's going to be really big in our life. And so then you begin to realize, okay, and then everybody hits a point where, well, I thought they were the one, but I realized after a few days, weeks, months, nope, they're not it. They're not going where I'm going. Is this person, because when you go back to Genesis, God made Adam, and it was just Adam. He had a great life, and I used to joke, food was free, clothes were cheap, weather was perfect. And it was all good. And God was rehearsing the first 6 days of creation, how it's all good. And the first time God said, not good, he was looking at a man. He said, it's not good. You're alone. I need to make you a helper. So a spouse is a helper to somebody who has a vision going somewhere. So a parent of a daughter, like, who are you dating? Where are they going? If I give them a blank piece of paper and send them down to the kitchen table, can you write me your 5-year vision? Where are you going to be in 5 years? How much money are you going to be making? What kind of house are you going to be living in? What kind of car are you going to be driving? What kind of job are you going to have? I don't know. I just love your daughter. Well, no, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it.
Well, I mean, that's so true. And I just think, you know, when you first have kids, when they're toddlers, you think, oh, my goodness, this is going to be the hardest part of raising a kid. I'm exhausted. I haven't slept in years.
I'll be glad when you grow up. Oh, dear God, they grew up. They've got a driver's license. Oh, my goodness, what was I thinking?
That age is a way bigger challenge. And it opens dynamics that you had no idea existed. What happened to that little child that believed everything I said?
Where's my toddler? Where's that messy diaper? I miss that smell. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, I would, you know, it takes faith.
Yes.
To raise kids into good adults.
Yes.
And so, listen, we all make mistakes.
Yes, we do.
So if you go too far, you say too much, you come down too hard, be honest. Talk
apologize,
to them.
Apologize, but you don't change your standard. Hey, that was wrong when I said last night. I apologize, but I'm not changing my standard.
Yes, exactly. Good. All right. Do you have any suggestions for something to listen to or read about learning how to pray?
Ooh, yes. We can start, if you just start with Proverbs alone. If you read a proverb a day for a month, you'll be a praying machine because you learn that God only does what he's asked to do.
Right.
That God is limited by what we – prayer is not a religious thing. It's a legal thing.
Yes.
God will move when we ask him.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam sinned, Satan became the legal god of this planet. The Bible says that Satan is a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys.
Mm-hmm.
He's a temporary god, but he's god of this planet. That's why – prisons are full and orphanages are full and you know, marriages are going south. What out? Well, people say to me, because I'm the family minister, where's God at? Well, he's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? Nothing. He won't move unless somebody asks. He's not allowed on this planet unless somebody asks. That's what prayer is. So I would just start by reading the proverb a day and you'll realize, man, they prayed a lot, didn't they? Yes, they did. And then if you'll get a New Testament, get your concordance and just type in the word pray and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I pray without ceasing. The guy that wrote two-thirds New Testament, how much do you pray, Paul? I pray without ceasing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because it's a war.
Right.
We've been given weapons, but it's a war. Prayer is it's a weapon. What are we going to do? I'm going to get God involved. And I'm going to ask all the time. I ask every day. Thank him every day. Going to the throne of grace every day. I don't care what I'm doing. I can pray without closing my eyes or humming a hymn or shaving my head or sucking a rug. You can pray just mowing the grass, washing dishes. We don't have prayers, just talking. You don't have to close your eyes and pray. People say, do you bow your heads as you pray? I never bow my head. The Bible says to watch and pray. Watch and pray. So, but prayer is critical so you get God involved.
Yeah.
Just talk normal, just like you're talking to human. Hey, God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. This is a mess. You got any ideas? Hey, God, I'm having to challenge this. You got any ideas?
I remember back in the 80s, there was a book that said, could you not tarry 1 hour?
Ooh.
And so the big trend in the church world at that time was get up at like 6 or 5 and pray for an hour before you start your day. So we decided to try that with our youth group. So the first day, nobody showed up.
Yep.
Oh, and yeah. And I said, not only can I not tarry 1 hour, I can't even tarry 15 minutes.
I'm running out of stuff, God. I don't know what else
I have
to say.
I've prayed for every missionary I know, all of my family, and the government, and everybody I can
the
think
president,
of.
Revival. I've covered it all, God. I'm out of stuff. What am I going to do?
Yeah. And I think sometimes you hear other people pray. Also, I was raised in that kind of church where if somebody got up to pray, suddenly their voice and their vocabulary changed, and suddenly they started talking Christianese, and it made you feel kind of, you know, like
just
a
dumb.
Yeah, like a
oh,
dumb
God in heaven. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, "What? You don't talk like that anywhere else."
Nope.
But I think it's just talking and communicating, just like we do with
yes.
one another.
Yep.
I mean, God desires a relationship with us.
God knows what you're going to ask where you're asking anyhow. He knows your thoughts. He saw your thoughts before you were ever born.
Right.
You're not shocking God when you say it. So
right.
Just tell the truth. God loves truth. Truth sets you free. It's just, hey, God, I'm kind of messed up about this. I'm kind of chaffed about this.
Yeah.
And so you start talking. He'll talk back.
Right, right. And so sometimes we make things that are so easy and simple so difficult.
Yes.
And we try to, you know, when God's just saying, just talk to me. Just share your heart with me. You know, just like I do with my kids. You know, tell me what you're doing.
Mm.
Tell me what's going on in your life today. Mm. What are you planning on doing? What are you believing for? Are you wanting to, you know, get a new house? You know, let's talk about it. And so just as a mother to my children want to have a relationship with them and love when they talk to me, love when my phone lights up.
Yep.
God, our Father, the creator of the universe. Can you imagine when we go, hey, God?
Makes him smile.
Oh, man, just like it does me.
But we think God's busy. Like, okay, son, I'll get to you tomorrow. We got a long line right now. There's some big, bad stuff going on.
Right.
God knows everybody, everywhere, all the time. He is instantly going to answer your question.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked so many times about, you know, when Daniel was praying for 3 weeks, the angel showed up, hey, we heard your prayer the day you prayed it.
Mm.
Well, where you been? Well, some spirit prince held me up, and Michael came and let me come down here. Prayer is critical, man.
It is.
It's just critical.
So, Yeah, just start. Yeah, just talk. Just share with them your heart. Hey, you guys, we so much appreciate you. Thank you. Please send in your questions.
Yes.
And try to stump Joe.
I can't be stumped, guys. I can't.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you so much. We so appreciate your partnership with us.
Yes.
If you have any questions or comments, mail at joemcgeeministries.com.
God bless, guys. Look forward to hearing from you. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.